Good evening. I don't know if you guys know, but that song, 183, was written by a businessman whose name was Horatio Spofford. And he lost his wife and his two daughters on the ocean, on the Atlantic Ocean. And this is later, he was riding across the ocean, and the ship came to the spot where they drowned. And he wrote this hymn, "It is well with my soul." And what I intend to share with you tonight is three things that will make you unbreakable. Because God is unbreakable. If I was to stand here, I'll bet you there's a whole bunch of young men that could push me over. But if I stood up against this wall, even the toughest guy in the world couldn't push me over. Because you can't push that wall over. And that's what we desire to have, the light of Christ inside of us, so we're not pushovers. So these thoughts came to me as I was thinking, when my son turned 18, he had a special ceremony of stepping into adulthood. And I invited a bunch of brethren, a bunch of brothers, and I gave each of them the opportunity to speak into my son's life. And this is what I wish I would have told him. This is not what I told him. But this is what I wish I would have told him. These three things. And I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's start with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The foundational truth for you to be a Christian is in the goodness, faith in the goodness of the heart of God. At the root of every sin is the doubt in the heart of man as to the goodness of God. The enemy of our souls says he's keeping something from you. He's keeping the best from you. And it's a lie. And every time you believe a lie, every time you get deceived, you get a counterfeit. You get a fake deal. It's not good. It's not the very best. God promises the very best to those who trust in him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, as we go through this life, things happen to us. And if we have our understanding of our life with us as the center. So many, many, many years ago, I don't remember the dates, they believed that the earth was the center of the solar system. And it made all the mathematical equations to explain the moving of the planetary bodies really difficult. I don't know if you guys have seen that in science class, where they had all these circles and all these explanations of how the planets moved. Because it wasn't true. The Earth isn't the center of the universe. The center of the solar system, the sun. And if you live your life and you think you're the center, you're going to have a hard time understanding the things that happen. Because life happens. And it isn't always easy. And if you don't understand the goodness of God, if you don't have a firm foundation in his love for you, then you are going to be tossed and tossed and tossed and tossed and tossed around. In Matthew 7, it says, the wise man, I'm going to tell you who the wise man is. The wise man is who hears the things that I do, and he built his house upon the rock. What's the first step? It's the goodness of God. If something happens to me, if something happens to me in my life, I understand it through the cross. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, one of my favorite verses, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? His love is settled. People say, well, if God loves me, how could this have happened? No. You put yourself in the center of your solar system. instead of living God. The cross settled the question of his love. It's forever settled. He couldn't love you more. There's nothing more the Lord Jesus could have done for anyone in this room than what's already been done. He gave his life to redeem you. We're busy running around in our lives and we want to get married, or and there's nothing wrong with that. Or we want this career, and we want this, and we want that, and we want this. And the Lord looks down and he has so much more for us. He wants to pour his love into your heart so that you would be full of the love of God. Does that make a difference in your life? It makes all the difference in your life. And you can see that. You can see people who walk around and they're looking. Most everybody is looking. They're longing for hope. They're longing for love. And you see people and they're full of love. They already understand where love comes from. It comes from above. It comes from the Lord Jesus himself. And when I understand I am not the center of the universe, my life is not about me. It's about him. He saved me. Why did he save me? Because he wants his glory to be reflected through me. And when I have a trial, it doesn't mean that his love is like moving around on the map. No, his love is settled. There's nothing more he can do for me. So I take it from his hand and I say, Lord, I don't understand. What are you trying to teach me? And it transforms. It takes away the suffering. And we learn a lesson. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I don't know if all of you guys know, but I got hit by a drunk driver about a year ago that mostly killed me. I was trapped in a burning car. I actually have a story from Echoes of Grace, and maybe I'll put them over there. I don't know if I have enough for everybody, but they're free as long as I have them. Never, not for one moment, not for one second did I question the love of God. Never, because I know it's settled. He couldn't do anything more for me. I'm laying in the hospital. I'm in so much pain, I can't even describe it. I didn't think the human body could feel that much pain. I thought you would pass out. But I'll tell you this, I never questioned God's goodness. I never said, Lord, how could you let this happen? Because I know he loves me. And if he loves me, then there's a purpose in the pain. There's a lesson to be learned. There's something to be gained. And I'll tell you this, I don't have that long. I don't know exactly how long I have. The purpose of trials is threefold in our lives. Okay? This happened in Job's life. It's to help us grow, because all of us have rough edges all the time. Our brother shared in the meeting about how we need to press on and abound. We need to press on and abound. We always need to grow. You're never going to come to the place. I'm never going to come to the place where you say, I've arrived, until the Lord comes and takes us home. For you now. Never. Number one, it's for our growth. Number two, it's for the defeat of the devil. The devil said to God, look at Job. Look at that man. He has all that stuff. He has that great attitude because you protect him. And God said, okay. And if you notice, God brings Job up to see. God says, okay, you can do whatever you want. And he takes all this stuff. And what does Job do? He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'm going to return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He defeats the enemy and he glorifies the Lord. Those are the three things for us to grow: the defeat of the enemy, and glorifying the Lord. There's always a purpose in suffering. And if you look for that purpose, it'll transform your trials. Your mom and dad, Kyle, they bought me a verse when I was in the hospital. And this is what that verse said. It's Jeremiah 29:11. It's one of my favorite verses. Not my favorite, but one of my favorite verses. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not die. To give you hope in the future. People ask me, how can you keep believing when look at what's happened to you? Because I believe that verse. I believe what God said. I'm a believer. because of what he's done and his faithfulness and his glory and his power. And when we believe that, when things come to us, it doesn't rattle us to the core. If I'm up against a wall and somebody comes and pushes on me, it might hurt, but it's not going to move me. That's what the Lord wants for every single one of us. And it comes from understanding the goodness of God. Everything in our lives. And you may say, it's not good. How can you give thanks for something that's bad? I've lost a child. Lost my livelihood. Lost a ton of money. You know what? I trust the Lord 100%. It's all His input. I'm not here for me. I'm here for Him. And I know that if He takes something away, He's going to give me something better. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but if there's a closed door, there's an open door somewhere else. And you're not going to find the open door standing there looking at the closed door. And that takes faith. That takes belief that God is good. And He's proven it at the cross. Don't ever let Satan put that seed of doubt, hold of the shield of faith and say, nope, the Lord is good. I know He's good. And there's the proof. The second thing I want to share with you is in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. If you're going to be unbreakable, if you're going to have a successful Christian life, you have to live in self-denial. You have to. It's not an option. You have to. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man, the invitation is open, man, woman, boy, girl, if any man, if anybody will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Why would I want to do that? I can build a kingdom. I can do this over here, and I can do that over there, and I can. Why would I want to deny myself? I'm telling you guys, for years I worked in my business, and I worked and I worked and I worked, and I said, Lord, when I get all figured out, then I'm going to spend more time. Every single time my business fell apart. Every single time. I'm a slow learner. That happened to me over and over and over and over and over and over. I was going to put the Lord first, later. Do you know what you call that? You call that putting the Lord second or third or whatever. Putting the Lord first later is not putting Him first. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And what I want you to understand is, in the amount of time that we have here, who I was in Adam is gone. He's dead. Matt in Adam is dead. My desires in Adam are dead. They're gone. They're buried. People say, why would I not want to fulfill my desires? Because you were never made for you. You were made for His image. And He has so much more for you. And you can't get a hold of it. Our brother just had his hand like this. And he said, what's it going to take for me to get something in my hand? You've got to open your hand and let it go. And that doesn't mean that you don't have a brain. That doesn't mean you think about who you need to marry, who you want to marry. It means I'm not here for my ego. I'm not here to look good. I'm here for Him. And that completely sets you free. It completely sets you free. This is the most liberating truth. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. There's a man named Michael Bryan, and he's in a wheelchair in the Tri-Cities. And he gave the most moving talk to the young people years ago. And he read Matthew 6:33, this is, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what Mike said? He said, my life was perfect. I lived in paradise. I had a perfect marriage and children and a business, and everything was perfect, and it was all for me. It was my kingdom. I lived for my kingdom. And he said, you know what? God took everything out of my hand. He lost his business. He lost his wife. He didn't lose his child, thank the Lord. He lost his health. He left Hawaii. And he said to me, he said, I lost it all, and I've got Christ. And I wouldn't trade back. This is a man who can't walk. He can't sit up. He can't rub his nose. And he wouldn't trade because he has something far more valuable. For whosoever will save his life is going to lose it. If you put yourself first, you're going to come in last. There's no first in line but the Christ. The Lord Jesus wants disciples who are here wholly devoted to Him. 100%, Lord, whatever you want, I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I don't know how many people in this room are willing. They say, you know what? That's what I want. That draws my heart. You know, I've coached a lot of couples that are in trouble in their marriage. And they say, I'm done. I've had it. I can't handle this jerk wad guy that comes home and won't talk with me. I can't handle this woman for one moment. I tell them, you haven't even started. You know why? Because they were fighting for themselves. You're in it for you! You're not even reaching your spouse's heart. You're trying to get your needs met. You're trying. You're fighting against them instead of fighting with them. You lay yourself down. You show up to love and serve. It's a totally, completely different game. And it works. But it takes self-denial to say, you know what? I'm not here for me. There's a description of this in the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this. Fixed mindset people, when they get feedback, they want to defend themselves. They want to look good. They can't afford to not look good because they're afraid. A growth mindset is open to input because they know they don't know everything. They know they make mistakes. They want to grow. That's part of this. When I'm not here for me, when I don't have to look good, and somebody wants to come and talk to me, what would you like me to hear? I'll consider that before the Lord. There's no friction. Only by pride have a connection. Self-denial is huge, and it sets you free. It set me free. Absolutely. Nobody owes me anything. I have nothing to hide, nothing to fear. It's beautiful. The last thing I want to share with you is in Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. This comes in the Bible right after our brother was saying it's important to know the context. This comes in the Bible right after one of the greatest doxologies in the whole Bible. The depth, chapter 3, verse 33, chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. And then He says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which are your reasonable service. And this is it right here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No thought lives in your head rent free. There isn't a single thought that lives in your head rent free. Everything you think about, you bring about. What you believe forms your life. You look at the outside of your life, and it's a reflection of what's in your mind. If you want to change that out there, you change this in here. And this is so powerful when we understand the power of renewing our mind. Renewing is an English word. You would go and you would renew your oil. You go to the quick lube and they open the valve on the bottom and they let all the bad oil out. They put the plug back in and they pour new oil on the top. How many people in here have had a bad day? I can raise both hands. You know what? When we have a bad day, we realize, hey, I had a bad day. This isn't me. This isn't God. I had a bad day. The Lord has allowed circumstances, the enemy's attacking me. But it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change whose I am. I'm His. I'm here for His glory. That's renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. As we walk through this life. And you challenge the things that you hear yourself saying. One of the things that often happens is people will say in counseling, they say, "Will you never? Will you always?" Words like that are just keys to me. I'm like, oh, you're projecting that on your spouse. Nobody always does anything. Nobody never does anything. Like those words, don't, that's not human behavior. Renewing your mind. You grab that and you say, where did that come from? Is that true? You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Ideas are awesome, but the truth is what sets you free. If I believe with all my heart there's an imaginary chair right here, and I have just faith and faith and faith and faith that there's a chair right here, and I go to sit down, what's going to happen? Is that non-chair going to hold me up? No. I would do it for you, but I'd probably get my head. It's not going to hold me up because it doesn't exist. But if there's a chair there, and someone says, "Matt, you can sit in the chair." And I said, "No, I don't see the chair. I don't see the chair. But there's a chair there. And if I know that, and I accept that, and I believe that, there's a chair there, I can sit down." And it's beautiful when people hear the gospel and they say, "That means me." And there are so many people that are full of bitterness. They're full of envy. They're full of selfishness. They're full of all this stuff that they know is in their heart. And Jesus says, "I'll take care of that for you." And He says, to be conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can say right now tonight, before you walk out that door, you can say, "Lord Jesus, I don't want to take that stuff out of your mind. I'm going to leave." There's a room, in like a house, in each side of inside of each one of us. And a lot of people open the door, the front door, to the Lord Jesus. And we say, "Come on in." We get saved. We let the Lord Jesus in. The Holy Spirit comes to live with us. And then there's a lot of people who say, "You can't go in this part of the house because it's dark, because it's dirty, because it's ugly. You can't see this." You know as well as I do that the Lord Jesus already knows what's in that room. If you want to be free, all you have to do is open the door. And the light and the love and the power and the grace will wash in that room and wash all that junk out. And you will be free. It's so powerful. So powerful. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall be you. I had a woman at my first marriage conference. And I was talking to her husband, and he said, "My wife doesn't want me. She won't let me make her happy. What's the deal?" And I said, "She's not playing with me. You've got to figure out what game she's playing." That was his mission. So she came up to me later, and she talked to me, because he had told her what I told him. And I said, "You know, I don't know you, but it's been my experience that people like that have a deep wound." She said, "Yeah, I have. It's from my fault." She didn't give me any specifics that I didn't ask for. I said, "You want to be free today?" She said, "Yes." I said, "We can do it right now." And she let the Lord Jesus come into her heart. And I don't know if she was already a believer. She may have already been a believer. She let the Lord Jesus come into her heart and take that pain away. Take the suffering away. Because she renewed her mind. And she let the love of Christ come into her heart and wash her out. And she was perfectly clean. She told me later, she said, "You know, we went on a trip. And said, you know, something's different. Really, what's different?"
So there's no thing.
She wasn't pushing away anymore.
Because her heart was broken.
And these three things right here, faith in the goodness of God, living a life of self-denial, and renewing your mind, will make you unbreakable. Radu, my dear beloved brother, I don't know, he gave me this article. Different ones have encouraged me in my journey. And he wrote me this article, and he was talking, he shared a story about this piece of pottery. And I don't know if you guys know this, but if you drop pottery, it breaks. I don't know if you knew that. And he said, this is the most amazing thing. He's telling a story, not Ronnie, but the person who told the story. He was telling a story about a piece of pottery they dropped on the ground and it didn't break. And the people went over there and they're like, wow, that's different. And they dropped it again and it didn't break. And they're like, what in the world? There's something special about this pottery. And your life, and my life, your life shouts that to the world when stuff goes wrong in your life and you still praise Him. There's something special about that. Something special. Lord, help us to live a special life.